you, Brother Barnabas.
Elder Barnabas Bramley. Thank you.
I guess you wonder why I would leave a tie on all day and take it off when I walked up here. I wonder too. But that being said, I got a little dizzy and my stomach started acting funny, and I thought it would help to take it off. But anyway, it's good to be here, and God is able. And I certainly did enjoy the brothers this morning. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the first scripture I quote. And then again, I might. It's hard to tell. You probably think I don't know what I'm doing, but that's true. I stood up in the pulpit down in Newport News 30, 40 years ago and read a text, had it in my mind what to say, and didn't do it. Because in that space of time, God caused me to know that what I had heard all my life was wrong. And the scripture was Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, 31. I've heard it hundreds of times. But I didn't preach what I thought I was going to. I preached what the good Lord gave me, and it brought me out of that bad doctrine, which it's really no doctrine at all if it's bad. But anyway, said in the beginning God. Now think about this. In the beginning of the book of Genesis, it tells you what God done. Everything. He created it. He set it in motion. He designed it to last until he decides to get rid of it. Everything. Man, vegetation, fish, animals, everything God done is said in the beginning God. That talks about the things that the scientists say has been here 500-600 million years and all that. Now, I don't know when the beginning was, by year, but I know it's whenever God said, let there be. If God created everything, every being, the first pair of parents, sun, moon, stars, oceans, creeks, mountains, valleys, everything. Don't you think maybe he might have a plan for what they would do and their eternity? You heard this morning the brethren talking about those that think God needs help. I was asked, I don't know how many times, but have you found Christ? And my answer always is, I did not know he was lost. But that being said, God is in total, complete control. He knows everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Every thought you've ever had, good or bad. And yet, the workmongers would say, he's trying to save you. Now think about this. The one that created everything that is by the word of his voice, or the power of his voice, needs your help? That is so ridiculous, it just boggles the mind. He said, if I was hungered, I wouldn't ask you. we have those, and I have some rather good news on that subject. My oldest grandson visited with my wife and I one day this week, and he said he's leaning to election and predestination. I baptized his mother, and then when she got married, she went away. And she won't listen to it. I mean, you cannot broach a word to her about what we believe, and she goes ballistic. But she doesn't go to church anywhere. Might as well not, but never mind. I better move on. But yet God, in His power and His love, has elected a people.
Amen, brother.
Not just one over here, but everyone that's going to heaven, God has already elected him to go, and he or she will.
Amen.
Nothing. Latter part of the 9th chapter of Romans will tell you that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And yet, those folk, and I don't like to talk about other denominations, so I won't name them, but there are people that if you die, if you don't get to a priest or get a priest to you, and you repent of that last sin you done, you're busting hell wide open, even though you're supposed to be going to heaven. That's just ruthless and sinful, but maybe main thing it's wrong. They tell you all these things, and confessing to a man down here seems kind of strange to me. We have one high priest.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the only high priest ever was, ever will be. You know, not talking about the priest in the Old Testament. But he is the only one that we need to confess to. Just like the prodigal. Prodigal went away, got in all kind of trouble. And it came to, when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Oh, what a wondrous day that was. He was concerned how the father would accept him, and the father's out there watching for him to come back after all these years. And he sees him, takes him home, and kills the fatted calf, and they have a big, I call it a wing ding, party, whatever, celebration. Older brother, he never done nothing wrong. So he says, we know that's not true, but he's never done anything wrong against his father, he says. And he was upset because he was throwing a big party for the one that wasted his father's living. Well, let me just tell you. That old Pharisee that was praying, thank God that he wasn't like that publican. I stand here this afternoon telling you I am totally confident and happy that I can associate with that publican. Said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
He acknowledged that he was a sinner. But any time as a Christian, as you think you're better than one of God's people, you're in trouble. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And yet, there are those that say, I've never sinned. was severely rebuked 30, 40 years ago for standing in the pulpit and saying I sinned. And I says to the sister, I says, that's where the people are. They've sinned. I'm supposed to stand up here holier than thou? They wouldn't believe a word I said, and it wouldn't be true because it'd be a big lie. And I continued to say, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the beauty of it is that God loved me anyway, unless I'm totally mistaken, and I don't think I am, because God came when I wasn't looking for Him. I think the brother mentioned that this morning. I wasn't looking for God. My words, I was fat, dumb, and happy the way I was. I was getting along just fine, thank you. Until that Spirit entered into here and made me see what I really was in truth. It makes you cry out to the Father. Makes you understand that you can't do it. Because all at once I changed from a happy-go-lucky guy to one being bowed down with the weight of sin. And not knowing the thing that I could do for it. But you know what happened, I'm sure. The Spirit of God comes into one's heart, causes them to hate what they used to love and to love what they used to hate. Causes one, instead of running up and down 95 or whatever, going to different places, to run up down the road, going to talk to Dad and the church folk. Caused me to drive 650 miles, you know, 325 and 325, every weekend I could, just to go to the church that I said I would never go to again. Talking about lying, I stood in the pulpit up in the mountains of Virginia and told this story that I told myself when I got to where I was in control of my life, I would never step foot in an old school Baptist meeting house as long as I lived. And I started to say that's the biggest lie I ever told. But God stopped me. It wasn't a lie because I wasn't in control. God was. We have a wonderful God, a Heavenly Father. He's the one who chose you, by the way. But He gave us to Jesus Christ in a covenant because that's the only way to get the sin paid for.
Amen.
And He sent the Spirit to show it to us. These folk running around here saying, all you got to do is say these few little words. Hey, they give you a little pamphlet and you just repeat it and you're saved. You're dead on, spot on, you're gone. But I ain't say where you're gone. But that's what they say. It's not true. God has a people. But He comes into them in such a mighty way that it causes us to bow down and say, Abba, Father. Causes us to say, Lord, forgive me. Causes us to know that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But at the same time, it gives us sweet relief. You know, I go back every once in a while to those olden days when God was working in here. I go back and all I can ever say is I did not initiate it. I was not looking. I determined that when I got old and had everything else to do, then I'd go look for Christ, so to speak. But that wasn't the plan of God. The plan of God was He came on time, and every time He is on time. You can't even stop it. Not like you'd want to. Once you learn what it's about and what the benefits are. What are some of the benefits? Air, joint air with Jesus Christ. In heaven. Forever. See Him as He is and be like and be satisfied. What'd you miss out on? And eternal hell. People don't want to talk about that. But it's just as real as heaven. People will say, well, they didn't have a chance. Sometimes I say, well, if he went to an adoption center, they had 100 kids and you only could use one to support one. If you take one, did you harm the 99? No. But God chose and called and sanctified and justified and set apart all those that it was His mind to do so. And He blinded the eyes and dulled the ears of those that it was not His plan to do so. He stands in absolute control of everything. I get so, what's a good word for it, irritated. When they talk about we are destroying the planet, we're going to kill ourselves. There is no way humanly possible for us to destroy what God said He would destroy. Can't happen. But that's the way the world goes. We have all those sons of the giant. I saw that a couple days ago. We have all those sons of the giants. And we have, you might say, the sons of David, who was of the tribe. Then you have the Apostle Paul, who thought he knew everything. Till he got knocked down on the road to Damascus. And he goes through that. Tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had all the qualifications in that day. But he said he counted them but done that he might win Christ and be found in Him. Because all that head knowledge disappeared. Head knowledge won't do you much good. It's got to be in here, in the heart. I heard my dad say that quite a few times. Religion is in the heart. Virginia boy born in Patrick County, next door to the moonshine capital of the world. And I think he had quite a bit of it. Until God got in charge. But we stand here today saying that there's nothing can prevent us or separate us from the love of God. And it's the absolute truth. You might say, well, I'll go out and shoot somebody. I don't think so. I'd go so far as to say if you did, it still ain't going to separate you from God if you were God's to start with. Might prove you're not is, but nothing. Heights of death, principalities of power, things above, things below, things seen, things unseen. It goes on and on and on. You know, sometimes if you're in school and you got to write a paper or whatever, you kind of get through it. God didn't have the writers of the Bible do that. They enumerated because they wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Now, ain't God wonderful? I'm just overwhelmed with His power. Every time I come down a road, or even when I leave my house and I see those, we call them hills, but I call them mountains because I like mountains better. But coming down here, everywhere you look, even before I get to Frederick, there's mountains everywhere. And when you get to coming down the road to Dinosaur Land, there's mountains everywhere. And when you come down, there's mountains everywhere. But you know what is more important than that? Is His electing love and His amazing grace. That's who our God is. He created the people for a reason known unto Himself. He created the world for reasons known only to Himself. You know, if it was one of us, which, you know, it's 10 gazillion times impossible, but we wouldn't want to go to the trouble. Why go to trouble doing all that? Just stay here by yourself. But for whatever reason, He wanted the people to be with Him in that world that would never end. And it won't end. You've heard that this morning. There's no end to that. And I might add that the trials and troubles in this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us in yonder's world. Not worthy to be compared. And yet people squawk about this and that and the other. I used to have a new car quite often. The one I got now is only 15 years old, I think. 14 or 15. But there's reasons for that. The funds run out, you quit buying. But when I was at the plant, they gave us a tremendous discount. And sometimes you could sell it for almost as much as you paid for it. I got a 92 Safari van. And I sold it for only $800 less than I paid for it. I mean $600 less than I paid for it. So you can afford it. And back in the day, you could deduct the taxes you paid. I hear that's coming back. That's not going to affect me none. But things like that enters into what decision you make. But as we stand here today, we can say these words, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." We can say those words. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me." All these hymns, and we sang Beulah Land earlier. I heard that about 3 times last night while I was trying to sleep. It's the 3rd on the list of the upon the disc that I'm listening to now that got from Brother John. Kind of lonesome for a country I've never seen. Aren't we all lonesome for a country we've never seen? Heaven and immortal glory. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. God bless you.
Bless you all.
Many times. You know, when you really get down and think about some of the things that God gives us that make more sense than we really give ourselves credit for accepting in the beginning. I mean, it just makes sense that you don't know anything about God, and you never know anything about God if He never reveals Himself to you or gives you the ability to know Him. There's millions of people in this country today, you don't know. You've never seen them, you don't know them, and until you meet them and make an acquaintance with them, you'll never know them or anything about them. And the same thing goes for God. Until He makes Himself known to us, and tells her who He is, and so forth and so on. And I'll say what He expects of us here in this world. You know, God didn't create all of this world, and He didn't create Adam to become a loser. If He'd have lost Adam and all the human race, God would have been a loser. He would have been a loser. It wouldn't have been that hope that He has in our people all throughout this world today to be one day with Him. That was in God's mind before He created man. And it was going to happen and it was going to take place. Amen. Sometimes we don't really stop back and think about so many of the things that God says and take them to heart. There's another portion of Scripture before I get mixed up somewhere else that I'd love to read to you. You know, we talked about a God today in this Bible that's so full of things that tells us about how great and how gracious and how loving and how the wisdom and the knowledge of God and so forth. And it just blows my mind away. You know, I whip myself all the time. I find myself sometimes I didn't finish school like I should have, and sometimes I want to look up a word and I can't even spell it close enough that one of these dictionaries or whatever that helps you, it can't even help if you get to find it, you know. So that's where I'm in that sometimes, in looking up things and studying God's Word. But in my years in the church and so forth, I thank God for all of them. I thank for His Word. I thank for the comfort, the joy, and the fellowship with His people and all of that that has come through my time in a few short years in the Lord's church here. But this is a portion of Scripture that come to mind, and I read through it, and I'm not being able to say to you much more than what God says in His written Word, which sometimes I think, and I know that I would be guilty of it. Sometimes I don't try to rearrange what God has said. He said what He means. He sent us a helper. You know, I'd like to remind you everywhere where the word helper is mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes you hear the statement that God don't need any help. But if He's our helper, then we got to do some helping too. If we didn't need a helper, then, you know, in other words, we're helpers with Him, together with Him. He helps us. He's willing and able to help us in every way that we ask. So He says in the Scriptures. But I want to read this portion of Scripture. This is, I don't know where you would find a higher, more exaltation of God in a short few verses. And so many other things that goes along with it. I don't know where you would find it in the Scriptures, but if you can, and you find them real quick, and we put them together, we'll spend the rest of the afternoon looking into the rest of them. We'd be okay with it. Sometimes I don't know where to start. I'll just start at the 17th verse of the first chapter of Colossians, and I'll probably read to the end of it. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In the body of the flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unremovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which we preach to every creature which is under heaven, wherever I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of it, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto you, given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is one of the greatest statements made in the whole scriptures to you and those of his. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every other man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Yeah.
And you know, I love to hear God's word preached. I love to read and study the Lord's Bible. More and more every time I pick it up, I find it more interesting in every occasion and find things that I've never found before. And you know, that as I hear this preaching and talking so many times about another doctrine and this and that and so forth and so on. And you know, in my time, I have listened to enough and I have heard enough that I know there ain't no place else to go. Christ is the way. He is it. That's the end. But the next thing is that where you're going to come up with a different doctrine that's going to do something different than what God Almighty has set forth and given us in the scriptures. And what the main trouble is, and why should we have a big problem with it? Believe it. That's the belief for the first thing. The Lord walks here on the face of this earth among people. And he didn't try to drive into them doctrines and things and so forth. His main thing was that you would believe that he is the Son of God. Well, you would say, maybe that's a small thing. Well, I say to you, it's not. If you can believe that he is the Son of God, then you have made an acquaintance. God has made an acquaintance with you and himself through his Son. For you to start a race here on this earth, to run a race, to run a race. In our life here on this earth, in the time that the Lord blesses us to live and take part in being this kingdom, this is the same as running a race. And if you think about that, if me and you, and I've never tried to really run one, go out here and run 26 miles and so forth, but you know, if I read the scriptures back in Paul's time and so forth, that was probably one of the biggest sports that they had. And he talked about running a race and talking about what's going to happen at the end of the race. But I say to you, you're going to run a race. If you're going to run a race here in a 26-mile marathon, you better start to work today if you haven't started a long time back and hope it don't happen for a year later, that you might equip yourself and get where you were bodily able to run the race. And surely we ought to do that here. We ought to do that here. You know, I'm excited today to see the number have come together here at this meeting today. And I'm fairly excited to see the little ones that sit in front of me, and I want them to know that their little noises and that they make don't bother me. I love it.
Amen.
It's as sweet as any song that's sung. They're blessings from God, and I've said it before, and I say it over and over again. Treat them as blessings from God.
Amen.
He's instructed you how to do it. You know, I say this to you today, I'm probably the oldest one in this church. If you're all of my age, this here at the church that Brother Gary pastors will empty out pretty quick here, sometime close in the near future. It thrills me to death to see these young children. Me, the congregation, each and every one of us, pray for that family. Pray that God would bless them with the ability to raise them up, because He has said that we'll raise them up. Keep them in the church. It's all that easier if we go about it in the right manner and love them and care for them and take care of them as God has said. It's a lot easier for us to keep them in the church than it is to bring them back if they ever get out and have a taste of this cruel world that we live in. And don't tell me, and they know that as well as I do, that they are not capable of making them children of God. But I say this over and over. God will be pleased if you treat them like they are.
Amen.
He's even pleased when we treat our enemies.
Yeah.
And give them a drink of water and feed them. When they, sometimes we don't see why that would be good. But you know, a hungry man is not quite as apt to hurt you as one that's been wed fairly.
That's right.
God's not foolish in His thoughts and the things that He's taught us and given in His scriptures. He hasn't. You know, I've come across this word. Well, let me back up, because this word is used here. And I'm sure that the world uses it, and I probably would have sometime here not looked at it properly. The 23rd verse. I'm sure there's been a lot of contradiction over that first scripture. In other words, right there it says you can be saved and you can lose it again. Yeah, that's what it says. But that's not what it says. It says F.
Yeah.
The word in front, F. If you want to have some enjoyable time, and some time that will probably hurt you also, start searching through the Bible and reading the word, especially reading the portion of scriptures that starts off with the two little letters, F. If you will do this, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I mean, I can't remember them, but you go through there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and it says if, and then there's something stated there that you must do in order for that to happen. But I say to you that this word here is not a commandment; it's an exhortation, and you know as well as I do that. You go back and read somewhere else in the scriptures, it's going to say that if you've been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that it'll never part you. You are saved by that indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, and it'll never be taken away. Why? Why wouldn't it be? If it could be taken away, God changed. He gave you something. He didn't like it, so He took it away. He's not an Indian giver. Is that what He used to say?
Yeah, right.
Give you something, then take it away.
Right.
No, He doesn't do that. It says this, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached in every creature, which is in the heaven, wherever I call them the minister. I'm saying that, like I said, if you want to read it that way, and not take into consideration what God said someplace else. And so oftentimes that's what we do. We take a word or two here and make it say what we want to. You know, this crazy world we live in today, I'm glad I don't have to come back through it again. It's so much going on and going on so fast and so forth that it just, but you know, I can back up and look at it a little bit different way. And say that this poor guy that's standing before you is as comfortable with the gospel and what the gospel has said to me, with the promises of the gospel. I'm as comfortable as I ever want to be. I've heard it all over and over and over. I believe it. I believe God's word. I don't doubt it. You know, a lot of people wonder, but how in the world did, who wrote it? God wrote it.
Amen.
You know, some people would be puzzled at, well, I don't know, so and so. Somebody asked me and a wife sometime back, several years ago, said, who's the head of your church? And he had a degree and ordained and could have been the pastor of the church. Who's the head of your church? Christ. And like blowed him off his chair, you know? He didn't know that, I guess. You know, it said something right there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Head of the church. He skipped some pages, some things that don't suit his... Don't suit his theory, don't suit his whatever he wants to preach. He just skipped over what you don't like. And we do that. I've done that too. When we start, we're old Baptists, we love the doctrines of grace. And everywhere we see it in big letters, we're going to, it just lights up so big you can't skip over it. You know, that's some of our habits. It's not bad. But at the same time we do that, we ought to take the rest of it into consideration too. You know, the things that God has done, God's promises are promises. We can't change them. We can tell you about them, but they're there. I can teach you something from the scriptures that's not true. But it didn't change the scriptures. It's exactly what God said and forever will be. His word will stand forever. So when somebody preaches, and you know, I still go with this, and I fell out with some people over a portion of scripture that I read many, many years ago. And I hear people, and I know people today, and their ministry is causing some wrong doctrine preacher to change his mind and repent. I say, that's God's business. Leave him alone. If I preach to you the gospel and you don't want to hear it, just get up and go home. I'm serious. But I can't change you. I can't make that happen. Only God's going to convince you. Okay. So this person, his whole ministry and more is trying to heal these prosperity preachers and so forth and making them repent. And they're preaching God's doctrine. Leave the man alone. God said so. He said, leave him alone. If it not be of God, it won't stand. Now, it may stand in the world, but it won't ever stand in his world. I mean, they can stay here and preach it all their life. You know, we just lost two men out of the ministry. Or their whole life has been ministry. I'm not going to make fun of them. God knows who they were and what they did and whether they preached the truth or not. I have heard some of them preach and enjoyed what I heard some of them say. And I'm not going to condemn them. God tells us not to. He takes care of that. Vengeance is his. Now, so oftentimes we get hard when we try to take it in our hands to straighten up matters that God said, leave alone. Leave alone. Just as he said, you know, that was a portion of scripture that I used to excuse myself of having to worry about the church or who was in the church or whatever, you know, for sending me to quit in the tear alone. You know, let them grow together. That's what he said. But then when I finally realized how they got together, it became a little bit more concerning to me that I should have wakened up somewhere back there and the tares might not have been mixed up in the wheat. Tares in the evil with wheat in God's people. And surely we're taught there. There will be a way. We all got to let things into the church that we know is absolutely going to be harmful and so forth. One that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you can believe and say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and comfortably with a clear mind and do things that would oppose what God was saying for. I can't understand how you would do it. I can't. There was another voice, another portion of scripture, another seen somewhere that I wanted to make mention of, but I have to tell you, this old mine here is not as good as it used to be. I think about all times how wonderful the Lord has blessed one that he just spoke for me, was alienated from him and an enemy to him. I run away from home. Now, I don't advise anybody here to do that. I run away home. I wasn't even like the guy in the bluegrass song. I didn't have no pack on my back. I don't even know if I had a dollar in my pocket. I hitchhiked away and joined the Navy. 17 years old. And if I could write down and sit down the crazy things that should have took anybody's life. From 17 years old in 1955 till I don't know how old I was in 1995. I was an alienated, an enemy of God. I knew nothing about God. I cared nothing about God. And I'm telling you the truth. Spent 3 years, 9 months, and 21 days in the Navy. Traveled all over the world. Hot rod cars. Outrun every state police in Amelia County. And alive today, I tell you about it. But don't try it, please. Ain't no future in it. When it gets to where you can't drive to work and back without the state police escorting you, you need to straighten up a little bit. I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, it's the truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I had a 1958 Chevrolet that, to my knowledge today, nobody never passed it. Never passed it. I had a woman that run a store next to my mother's house, and of course, now me and my mother was not a good situation. And that's the reason I run away from home. But wouldn't it be a terrible thing for a neighbor or somebody to tell you that they'd rather have insurance on one of your children than money in the bank? That's what she told my mom. Well, she knew how I went by the store every morning on the way to work. Wide open, the old car would run. Lord, as I think about it, sometimes it makes the hair stand up on my head. How I was so crazy and mixed up and so forth in this world. But it's the truth. And to think, and I believe he did, for God to introduce himself, to reveal himself to me and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Merciful.
And from 1995 to today has been the happiest time of my life, I'll tell you that. And encourage anyone, don't run from the church. If you're any way at all you're paving, join your church, whichever one is close by. Be a part of it. Be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world and in your community and wherever you are. Let your light so shine that it may cause one to glorify God. Lord, he's done so much and been so wonderful to us and more to this poor guy than he ever blessed me beyond in my imagination. I just think, I love him. I want to be where he's at one day.